everyone. Welcome to The Scoop right here at CFRC 101.9 FM. I am Dinah Jansen, and I am in the virtual studio with Professor David Skillicorn from computing here at Queen's University. Hello, David. Welcome to The Scoop. So today we're talking about a Tuesday, October 20th decision by the province to launch a new so-called digital wallet, a plan to have, we understand, various provincial identifications and services to go virtual. David, can you break it down for us? What's happening at the provincial level here?
Yeah, I guess the first thing to point out is that this is still very much a pipe dream by the provincial government. I mean, it was one of a long list of things they announced, and they don't plan to even start consulting about it until next year. So this is not something that's going to happen in the next few months. With these digital wallets, so-called, there's really two different sets of issues to think about. One of them is, what is it good for? And so, for example, it could just be a replacement for your health card and your driver's license. In other words, it would just identify you as you for any time you needed to get provincial services. And that's not particularly exciting. But what's happening in a number of countries is that once these devices are in play, then you can get other parts of the economy involved. So the banks might in principle want to make these into a replacement for your bank card. And you might find yourself with your health records stored on such a thing. And so it could become an important part of your identity and the things that you can do in society as well.
So what are the motivations here for this particular development?
Well, I think at bottom, what they're thinking is they spend a lot of money on things like sending out health cards and driver's licenses and all sorts of other provincial paperwork. And they're hoping to replace that with a one-stop shop. It's dubious about whether they'll actually net save any money by doing that, but I suspect that's the motivation.
Okay, well, to follow up on that then, if it's might be a matter of money here, what about the employment of public service workers then, if there are cards and or being replaced with virtual IDs where services can all be done with, for example, apps on telephones, does that replace actual people and their jobs?
It probably does, but the way they're selling it is that it replaces lots of the hassles that ordinary citizens have to go through, right? So, I mean, your health card lasts 5 years, which means every 5 years you have to trek to Service Ontario and stand in line for an hour and get your health card replaced. And the same with your driver's license, although that's done more by mail. And I guess if you run a small business or if you run a farm, there's a lot more of that kind of paperwork that you have to do. And so they're selling it as this will make all of those kinds of transactions possible online in a way that you have to do in person today.
Okay, so you've stated recently that the last time you had seen the numbers, a quarter of Canadians don't actually have cell phones or similar technology. This process of the digital wallet is not going to be as easy as it looks. So what kinds of obstacles does this digital wallet actually plan for full accessibility of Ontarians to their healthcare and getting a driver's license and more?
Yeah, that's the other part of the story, is what platform is this going to happen on? And the provincial government has signaled that they're thinking about phones. And in my opinion, that's actually really quite a bad idea. First of all, phones are not very secure environments. I mean, even the providers who try really hard, like Apple, are constantly dealing with problems with the security of their phones.
Yeah.
And by putting it on a phone, you're basically saying to people, this is never going to be important because you won't be able to trust it enough. Mm. The countries that have done this well have gone down a different road. They've created a smart card, which has an embedded processor on it. And that means it's a totally separate environment from Android or iOS or whatever. And it just does the things you need to authenticate who you are and your personally identifiable information. And the advantage of going down that road is that it's been done before. We don't have to do this reinventing the wheel thing that Canadian governments love to do. And we know that it works. It's been in play in Estonia and Iceland for a long time now. And so we know that it can be made secure and can be made to work. The other problem is the one you mentioned about phones. People think that everyone has a cell phone, but it's just not true. First of all, you need to have a charged cell phone.
Yeah.
That's not always the case. But then if you start thinking about the edge cases, what are you going to do about children, most of whom under, let's say, 8 or 10 don't have a cell phone? And what are you going to do with people who are in care homes and probably don't have a cell phone either?
Mm-hmm.
And even if they do, which increasingly as we all get older, they will have, just the nightmare of trying to keep everyone's cell phone charged in a care home is not an attractive one. And then there are people with disabilities and in group homes and places like that where this assumption that cell phones are everywhere really doesn't hold. And so it's hard to see how you could make something like that universal.
Mm-hmm.
And once it's not universal, now you have to have a second parallel system for all the people who can't do it on the cell phone. And lots of the cost savings and convenience have gone out the window because you still have to keep the old system working. So in my view, it's really kind of a silly idea to imagine that a cell phone is going to become the center of your life for important stuff. I mean, I know it's the center of people's lives for social media and things like that, but I think the right way to think about a cell phone is you should put as little as possible on it, really, because it's just not that secure a device.
Indeed.
And so, then there's all these other kinds of issues like, well, I'm going to the US and Customs and Border Protection are entitled to look at my cell phone. What does that mean for the app which controls all of my government information? It's not clear how things like that are going to work out.
Gotcha. So is there any idea of other alternatives than to the cell phone, as you mentioned?
Well, I think smart cars just make a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. They don't need to be charged. Everyone can have one. Literally everyone can have one. And if the person who it belongs to doesn't actually have the capacity to use it, then caregivers can take responsibility. And we already know how to make all of those things work. And as I said, there are countries which are much, much further down this road than we are. And so we have lots of good examples of how to do it well.
Okay, so what are the next steps then in this process? When do we know when we're going to go to this virtual model, if at all?
Well, the provincial government said they'll start consultations at the beginning of next year. Provincial governments don't work quickly. So anyone's guess about how long it will take them to actually come up with a coherent plan, you just have to look at the COVID tracing app to look at how long it can actually take from an idea that other countries had already built to something that can be made to work. I think we're still rolling out that app in some provinces. So, you know, and that's in an emergency. So, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, who can guess?
All right. Well, thank you very much. Do you have anything else to add, Dr. Skillicorn?
No, I think we've covered it.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We've been chatting with David Skillicorn of the School of Computing here at CFRC 101.9 FM about the provincial decisions to launch a digital wallet to hold our provincial identification and access to services. Again, thank you very much for your time and keep in touch.
Good talking to you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples. The CFRC Podcast Network at podcast.cfrc.ca is brought to you by the generous support of the Queen's University Faculty of Engineering and Applied Sciences.